God bless you, everyone.
Blog Talk Radio.
God bless you, everyone. This is Minister J. Miller. Dirty Church Radio. Right now, we're opening up with a song that I wrote called I Am the Treasure. I hope this song bless you. Just know that you are valuable and that you mean something and you are worth something.
From the day I was born,
you will see you shortly after the song. Enjoy.
I've been searching, even in the storm, trying to find you. Everywhere I am, it seems to get far from me. Then a chance I took, and finally inside.
Everyone doing out there? This is Minister J. Miller from Dirty Church Radio, where we hoping that you call in with your different views and a different perception, different thoughts that you may have. We understand that we're all, we're different individuals, you know what I mean? And we have different experiences. We come from different backgrounds. We were raised in different households. We have different friends. We were taught by different teachers. We've heard the word through different preachers. Whatever it may have been that whatever you may have experienced or whatever you're going through, we understand in this life, through the trials and the different experiences that we come upon, it actually weighs in on our decisions and on our choices in life. And tonight's discussion will be belief versus unbelief. What is the consequence? Belief versus unbelief in God. What is the consequence? Do you believe in God? What God do you believe in? Who is God to you? Through unbelief, do you believe there are consequences through unbelieving or through believing? What is the result? Which road does they lead to? Which road does belief lead to? Which road does unbelief lead to? So I'm looking forward to whoever is out there to call in and chime in on this discussion. I believe no man has all the answers. No man knows everything. We mainly can speak about, you know, what we've experienced or what we've read through books or what we was taught or raised in. That's what we're speaking from. Some of us, we hold on faith. We don't believe in everything that we see. We believe that there is a spiritual side to things, that we are spiritual beings, and that God is a spirit, and that those who worship God must worship him in the spirit and in truth. And we believe that some things can only be revealed through the spirit. Then there are some people that believe that everything that they receive or that they believe has to be tangible. Give it to me on paper. Let me touch it. If I can't touch it, it doesn't exist. If I can't see it, it's not real. So in this world, in this great big world, there are different thoughts and different perceptions when it comes to believing in God and unbelieving in God. And what is the consequence? Where does it lead to? I have my view, and I know you out there in Radio Land have your view. So call in on the air. Call in at 773-897-6319. 773-897-6319. I'm waiting for a few of the hosts, the co-hosts, to come on here tonight. I'm supposed to have some special guest hosts on here tonight, and I'm praying that everything is okay with them, that they will be able to call in and join us during this discussion. Let me just, you know, talk a little bit about even myself and my perception of things. I am a man who believes in God. I am a man who believes in Jesus Christ. I'm a man who believes in that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And I also believe that regardless of what discoveries have been discovered through man trying to prove God that he doesn't exist, or some might say that the scriptures have been misused, mishandled, they have been altered. But I am a man who believes that God is greater than any thing that man can do. I believe that if God has a message and he has a truth that he wants to get to man, that he wants to reach man with, no matter what man tries to do, purposely or unpurposely, God will still reach his goal. So if someone changed some words or altered some things, I believe that regardless of whatever, it all will work for the good of God and his assignment. And his assignment is for us to hear the truth, to hear his word, and through his word, have faith in that word, so that word can take us from a place of bondage into a place of freedom. And not just a physical bondage, but a mental bondage, a spiritual bondage. We can be free through Jesus Christ. That is what I believe. But that is what I believe through my experiences in my life, and what I chose to be true and real. But there are some of you out there who have different experiences from me. You've been taught, you've been raised in a different place. You may have been cut off from society. You may have been cut off from TV and television. You may have never read the Bible. You may have never heard a preacher preach the word of God to you. So has God reached you? I want to know how God has reached some people out there without going to church or without being in a revival or without listening, watching TV and hearing a preach word on there. How is God reaching people outside of them just going to church? How is God moving? How were you raised in your household? What perception did your parents give of God to you? When you think of God, what do you picture? What do you see? What do you hear? Is God real to you? Do you believe in a personal God? Do you believe in a God of all? What do you believe? Do you believe that there is a consequence to your actions, to the way you live your life? Do you believe that there is a consequence to that? Do you believe that by the decisions and choices that you make in this life, there could be a penalty at the end of it? And do you believe that God is a God that guides man and helps man, leads man? What is your perception of God? Is your God, is it just a Christian God? Is God greater than Christianity? Does God, what is your full perception of God through your life experience? Do you box God into a small box? Or is God greater than how you experience him? Call in 773-897-6319. You know, do you believe in faith? Do you have faith? What is faith to you? Or do you trust in everything that you see with your sight? Those are some things I want to know. So right now, I'm going to wait a little longer for a few people to call in. Until then, I'm going to play the song one more time, I Am the Treasure, because this is a song that I truly want the world to hear. You know, when God gave me this song, I truly, you know, there's so many people out here who have had many failures and made many mistakes and been stepped on and talked about, criticized, and they feel no self-worth. They feel like they're useless, like they have no purpose. But I'm on this radio station, on Dirty Church Radio tonight, to tell you that you are a treasure. And you may have been hidden. You may have been buried. But I'm telling you, through the word of God and through God, you are discovered. When you were born, you had purpose, regardless of what you've experienced or how you was raised. If you was raised in a broken home, you're still valuable. Whatever it is that you're going through, just know that you are the treasure. Believe in who you are. Trust. God bless you, everyone out there. I hope that you enjoyed the song. I hope that it's a blessing to you. I see someone commenting. Let me see who this is on here. Hello? Hello?
Hello?
Yes, how you doing, Mom?
I'm doing good. How are you?
This is my mother. This is my mother calling in tonight on the show. How you doing?
I'm doing great. Good to hear you.
Yeah, good, Mom. How you doing today?
I'm doing good.
You doing good?
Yeah.
How long you been listening in on the show, Mom?
As soon as it came on?
Uh-huh. Okay. I was away from the computer for a minute. Okay. So what did you think so far? I mean, what is your take on believing in unbelief?
I believe in God all the way, with all my heart and soul. He brought me a long way.
Mm-hmm.
Been through a lot of things, but he brought me out. A long time ago, when I was first born, I wasn't able to walk until I was almost 20 years old. And that's a blessing to be able to walk. It's really good. And I love my family, and I think God's been good to all of us.
Well, Mom, while you're on here, you just was talking about when you was born with your foot. Do you want to give a little testimony about what God did for you on your, as being a young girl and growing up with dilemma?
Well, when I was first born, my mother told me that my foot was crooked or something. And and when I got 5 years old, they thought they were able to fix it, but they couldn't. So I had to wait until I was almost 8 or 9 years old because they didn't think I had to take the ether that they were going to give me. And so when I was around that age, I was able to get my first operation, and it didn't work out right. So they had to take the ankle off of my other side of my other foot to put on this best side, for my other foot, and to make it straight. And we had to break my foot in order to make it, better than what it was. So I've been through a lot. And I had a cast on, and they took the cast off because they didn't think that was going to work. And then I had a brace, and I was in a wheelchair and had crutches. And then it seemed like it wasn't healing. So they operated again when I was 14. And after 14, they said I would be okay. So I had to go to school in the hospital. I wasn't able to go to any public schools yet. So I had to go to school in the hospital. I was raised almost in the hospital. And my mom had to come every day. She had to come every day to see me. And all of a sudden, I broke out with chicken pox. And nobody was able to come see their children because I had chicken pox.
Mm.
And then when I got 16, they told me to come home. But I had to walk with crutches for a while. And they had a brace from my foot all the way up to my hips. And when they took that off, I made my first step. But I fell, and I was by my grandma then, and they helped me up. When I was 20 years old, I was able to walk. And I thank God for that, because I couldn't have a foot.
Wow. Would you say through your experience, Mom, that God showed himself real to you?
Yes. Yes, very much.
So you give credit to God.
Yes, all the way. I might not have a foot. I might have been able to walk. And this is remarkable for me. And to go to school in the hospital, I sang. I did have some sort of a voice, and I sang Christmas carols when it was Christmas time. And they all missed me when I left from the hospital. They wanted me to come back.
Wow, that's something.
They wanted me to come back. Yeah.
The reason why I like this show, I might not have, thousands and thousands of listeners or anything right now, but you know what? It's an opportunity for people to call in and express themselves.
Yeah.
Without being belittled, because we might disagree on certain things. But I believe God's ultimate goal is for us to love each other the best way we can. And to treat each other with respect. And I believe that even in the midst of our differences, that we should at least try our best to see the bigger picture of trying to connect with each other in areas.
That's right.
Since I've had this show, we've had a brother from Michigan call the other day, mm-hmm. a brother who's a Catholic, he called. And not just saying, you know, just because he's a Catholic and that's who he, you know, who he is. But I look at everybody, when whoever calls in here, I'm like, yo, this is mankind calling.
Right,
this is God's creation calling. God created everybody. So I believe everybody has a voice. And I believe that I may believe one thing and you may believe one thing. But I believe we can start somewhere with everyone starting to acknowledge that there is a God first.
That's right.
Because it seems like a lot of times we get so caught up on our disagreements about issues and about God that it keeps us from being able to connect with one another. Because as soon as I find out that you don't agree with something that I agree with, or I don't agree with something that you agree with, now immediately we put a line or a wall between us.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And I believe when God created man, when he created man, the trees, when he created this world, he created this world to be like a musical melody, for everything to actually be in harmony.
Right. We all have a gift.
Yes.
We all have a gift, and we should use it. I wasn't able to use mine too good because I always wanted to be a teacher. And, of course, you know, when I went to junior five, I was teaching in the, you know, whenever I come to school every day, and I was helping with the children there and everything. And they really, I got a certificate saying that I was so great with the children. And I had to stop because it was bothering my leg a little bit and my foot. And it would swell up a lot, you know. Right now, I'm walking with a cane a little bit, but, you know, I'm still going. You know?
Yeah, Mom, and I thank God.
Still going.
I thank God for that. I thank God. And, you know, what's something, though? There are some people who actually would believe, well, why, who will probably say, why thank a God? Just thank the doctors who performed
the
operation.
Yeah, that's right.
And my thing is, thank them, too. But I believe, you know, this is what I believe that, listen, God, I believe he's the creator.
Yeah.
I believe that he's the creator of all. And I believe that the creator deserves a higher respect than any.
The Jesus gives power to people so they can help others, you know.
Yes. Yeah, that's what it is.
They give the doctors, power and give them the knowledge and stuff and to help other people. I'm just grateful today.
Amen.
And like my husband, we've been going through a lot when we was just starting to date and everything. And, you know, we had our differences and we had our arguments and I would leave him, go back to him. But I thank God that like we straightened up, we got married now and I'm happy. I couldn't ask for a better time.
You know what? That's a great thing, Mom. You know, I'm so glad that you called in tonight. I'm so glad that you called in. I hope that you stay tuned in and listen to the rest of the show. The co-host is about to come on. And just know that I love you, Mom, and I hope everyone out there loves their mothers. All right, Mom?
I'm glad. When I was the first one to call?
Yeah, you was the first one to call, Mom.
Amen.
All right, Mom. Love you.
Okay, I'm going to listen in.
Okay.
Hello.
What's going on, Aaron, the devil's advocate, Bradley?
Oh, what is good? Hi, world. Hello, world. The devil's advocate is actually here. For all of you people who don't actually know what the term devil's advocate is, it's just taking the opposing side of whatever conversation or whatever discussion is actually being held at this particular time. And since we're talking about unbelief and belief, my opposing side is whatever the majority is. I will actually take the side of the minority. It's what I do.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, devil's advocate, Brother Aaron Spradley,
mm-hmm.
however you want, a.k.a. Keys, whatever we're going to talk about, my brother. Listen, man, I'm glad that you called in, man.
Come on, man. This is my thing.
That's what I'm saying. I'm glad that you chose to be a part of this. And I know there might be some people, even Christians or church people, that might be like, yo, Dirty Church Radio, what is that? And why would they have someone on there who would call themselves the devil's advocate? This show is about not robbing people of an opportunity to express their thoughts and their ideas. I have my faith. The devil's advocate, he has his faith. This is a role that he plays on the show. So I don't want anyone to get it twisted that this is who he is. He
but not only that,
God.
Like I also said, the devil's advocate isn't necessarily someone who takes the devil's side in any literal sense.
Yes.
It's just the opposing side of the majority arguments. That's all
it is.
That's
right. That's all it is. So don't be so quick out there to judge. I hope y'all enjoy the show. But if not, the show still will go on. And we still enjoy ourselves and have a conversations of life. You know what I'm mm-hmm. saying? So, Brother Spradley, man, talk to me. Enlighten me with some stuff, man. You know what I mean? I'm gonna let you start this segment, and you know, go ahead and just do what you do. You know what I'm saying?
All right, no problem. All right, check this out. I did a little bit of I won't say research, but I did some defining of the words. I did some finding of the word belief. I did some finding of the word knowledge. I did some defining of the word of probability. And I'm just going to give you some definitions of these words. I think these words actually touch and hit base on what we would be talking about tonight.
Okay.
The definition for belief basically is the psychological state in which an individual holds a proposition or premise to be true. So basically what that means is it is a place of, whether you want to call it consciousness, a place of mind. For some people, especially believers, they say a place of spiritual consciousness, holding an idea based on religious, I won't say rhetoric, but religious knowledge, basically, holding a position based on that religious knowledge, basically what it is. And to give you an idea or to give you the definition of knowledge itself, just the word knowledge alone, is a familiarity with someone or something which can include facts, information, description or skills acquired through experience or education. That's what knowledge is. All right. Probability is. And the reason why I came up with the word probability is because dealing with religion and dealing with the claims of belief and unbelief, probability has a lot to do with it. Is your faith probably, is it true? How true is it? How can we know that it's true? So that's where probability comes in. And probability basically is the measure of expectation that an event will occur or a statement is true. All right? So, for instance, let's say that I am one who says, I believe the sun will basically rise tomorrow. I don't necessarily have any proof, so to speak, that the sun will rise tomorrow, because it's possible that it may not rise. But it's probable because of what it has been doing every single day since the existence of time as we know it. It has risen up and it's gone down. It's come up in the morning, or it's come up at dusk, and it goes down at sunset. So the probability is high that the sun will actually come up tomorrow morning.
Because it's been coming up, and that's because, all we know.
Because it actually has been coming up. So that's how we know. So basically, the sun rising is more so an absolute, because we basically can do a test by probability. And probability shows that more chances than less, the sun will actually rise. So that's basically something that you can kind of, you don't necessarily have to believe it, because it kind of leans more toward facts. All right.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when you're talking about believing in a God,
mm-hmm.
believing in a God is kind of like saying, I'm just giving you a scenario, giving an example. It's kind of like saying, tomorrow the sun won't rise. Now, we all know that the sun rises every single day, and the probability of the sun rising is very, 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 very high.
Mm-hmm.
But me saying that the sun won't rise tomorrow, I'm kind of taking a step of faith and saying that, okay, even though the sun has been rising every single day, every single day, every single day, tomorrow I think the sun's not going to rise. What kind of proof do I have? Let's say, you know, a type of nation or a generation at one point said that, you know, October 11th, what's tomorrow, October 11th or 12th, 13th, what is it? Anyway, tomorrow, let's say October, if it's October 11th, let's say tomorrow they
uh-huh.
say, you know, we predict 2,000 years from now that on October 11th, the sun is not going to rise. So, and they basically they base their whole premise and belief on that statement, saying that the sun is not going to rise, and they did research, they did all this stuff, and they predicted that the sun won't rise this day. But every single day prior to, the sun has rose.
Hold up,
has risen.
We have a caller calling in, man, from an 813
okay.
number. I'm about to chime him on in.
Okay. Hello?
Hold on, I'm chiming him in now. Hello?
Hello, how you doing? I'm sorry for interrupting. This is Mr.
Okay.
X-Catholic. As of Monday, I was kicked out of the church, out of the Catholic church. Just saying, hi, how you guys doing?
Doing good. Well, we were basically talking about belief and unbelief. I was just giving some examples of belief and unbelief.
Yeah, I caught a little bit of that. I'm sorry. Go ahead. Continue with what you were saying.
Okay, so
you were saying about the sun.
Yeah, not rising. So basically, let's say the day comes, tomorrow comes, and the sun does rise, and I was totally wrong, and you know, all of my the whole premise was wrong, and it was knocked out the window. So what do I do now? Now that my belief that something that was the probability of it was very, very high to happen, it has still happened. So what do I do now? Now I become smarter, and I don't put a time frame on when the sun actually is going to, the sun isn't going to rise. So I say one day, the sun's not going to rise. Now, of course, probably one day the sun probably won't rise. But now my premise is basically saying, I believe that one day this sun is not going to rise. It's been rising, but one day my faith is in this sun not rising. Whatever the reason may be behind the sun not rising, you know, is up to whoever believes that the sun is not going to rise. But what does that sound like to you? And I'm actually asking a question.
So are you talking about, are you referring that to like Jesus coming back?
Jesus coming back. It could be Jesus coming back.
Or like in the Bible, when Noah was talking about a flood coming for years and years.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
It sounds to me like somebody that's about to start another religion.
Yeah. Well,
you were just using that as an example.
Yeah, that's basically my whole premise of belief and unbelief. You basically
all you need is some followers now.
Yeah, right. Basically, you only believe what you don't know. And what you do know, you no longer accept it as a belief. For instance, I know my brother exists. I don't have to believe it. I know he exists. I literally know he exists because he's my brother and I see him. But I don't say that I believe that my brother exists because it's totally contrary to the notion that my brother actually exists. You only believe in something that you don't know. That's where belief comes in. That's where the whole idea of faith comes in. So the topic of the show is belief versus unbelief. In God, what is the consequence of it? Now, I've been doing a lot of research, and I've been also doing some research on the consequences that the Bible actually speaks about when it comes to unbelief. I'm just gonna quote some scriptures. I'm not gonna necessarily say what all the scriptures mean.
Wait, can I pause you for a second before you say the scriptures? Because I want to just touch base with you on what you just said. See, my problem with that whole system is that, like, the problem is since the beginning of time, humanity has always filled in the blanks for what we can't explain. So, like me, for example, what I say as far as using the word belief. What I believe is that, like, we're all part of this God that, you know, that we speak of. It's like, all of us were part of this God. And it's the only rational explanation for who and what we are. See, like, one of my favorite quotes, speaking about that, right? One of my favorite quotes was from this guy, what was his name? Oscar, I forget his last name, right? Mm-hmm. But he was, like, an Irish poet. Don't even ask me how I was just online and reading poetry and et cetera. But anyway, he said, ignorance is like a delicate fruit. You touch it and the bloom is gone. So, like, the reason I brought that up was because, like, for me, what I don't know, right, what I don't know is what I'm ignorant to, right? I don't necessarily try to say that I do know what I don't know just by filling in the blanks like humanity always does. You understand what I'm saying? See, and going to that same quote, he says, ignorance is like a delicate fruit. You touch it, and the bloom is gone. And
I'm sorry to cut you off. His name is Oscar Wilde.
Oh, you know him?
Huh?
You know of him?
I've heard of him before.
Oh, okay. Now, my point is, like, when you touch it, and the bloom is gone, right, from that delicate flower, that delicate fruit, right? And the fact that humanity has just filled in the blanks for how it suited us along the way, it's like we touched the ignorance with our ideas, and then now the bloom is gone. So me, in my personal opinion, you know, that's why I stick to the fact that I just believe in what I do know. You see how you said that you can't necessarily say something like you believe in something that you know because it already, you know, it's something that you already know, so you can't really have a belief in it. But I look at it a totally different way because it's the only rational explanation for who we are is that we're all part of God. Whatever God you think exists doesn't exist. You know, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Does that make any sense to anybody?
Yeah, it does.
No. Yeah, I hear what you're saying. I was talking to one of my cousins, and I was telling him about one of the reasons why I believe there is a God is because I exist. Because I'm here. And I don't, you know what I'm saying, just by me breathing alone, like me, you know, I believe, you know what I'm saying, that God made me in his image. I believe that God, he designed me And I believe that, just like, put it this way, when you take a fish out of water, right,
mm-hmm.
what happens when you take a fish out of water?
It dies.
It dies.
You keep it out of water, yeah.
All right. Yes, that's how I believe man is. When man turns his back on God, it's like him taking himself out of water. It's almost like now you have taken yourself out of the habitat that you were designed to be in. And that is acknowledging the Creator who designed and created you. So now you have put yourself in a place of isolation, and you have put yourself in a state of a so-called death. Because I believe when man connects to God, that's when he truly lives.
I totally agree with exactly what you're saying. Because that, with that, on that same concept, I always say to my wife, like, I don't understand how atheists could even be atheists, because they're still believing in atheism. You know what? You know, they still, like, they, if they say they're an atheist and they don't believe in a God at all, they can't necessarily tell you what they do believe in, but they exist. So
no, you can't say that. Because, I'm sorry. The very definition of atheism is not necessarily not believing in anything.
It's
basically believing. It's basically the non-belief in God claims. So they don't necessarily
only in God claims.
That's it. But atheists believe in many things, but they just do not believe in the God claims. That's what they don't believe in.
Okay. You said
that's
in the God claims?
Yes. In any
like,
God. In any God claim, they do not accept to be true.
So they don't believe in God, period.
So they believe in not believing in God?
Because of the lack of evidence. They do not accept.
No. They believe in not believing in God.
No. They do not accept any God claims because of the lack. Because of the lack of evidence given.
So what do they accept?
What they accept a lot of things.
Like what?
You name it. They accept the belief of love. They accept the. I mean, they're normal people. They just do not. Atheism is basically the absence of theism. And what theism is the belief in a God. Atheism is the non-belief, the total extraction from God claims.
So what is there?
Because of the lack of evidence.
Let me ask you this question. A study was done, right, in different countries, and it was ranked on atheism and strong belief in God.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to give you a list of the countries, and I'm going to give you certain percentage of the belief, how they believe. In Germany is the number one place of atheism where you can actually say that they don't believe in God.
I would totally disagree with that.
No. I'm going to tell you. This study was done by different universities throughout time. I mean, it was different. It was done through different universities. Rather, is true, just like anything that you read or any information that you put and you say that's giving you a claim, this is something that someone else are saying.
Well,
they did a study
what you actually do is you actually attest it to other writings as well, to other statistics as well, not just one person saying it. You have to match it against other people as well.
That's what I'm saying. So I'm giving you something you can match. We got to start somewhere before you can start the matching. I'm not even telling you that this is law, that this is
you're just basically reading.
Yes, I'm just giving you, like, the same way we on there having a conversation, some other people did some studies, and this is what they came up with, whether it's 100% accurate or not. I'm just giving, that's what we on here, we're conversating, right?
Yes, sir.
And the whole thing was in countries that don't believe in God or countries that claim, I know God really exists and I have no doubts about it. All right?
Okay.
The Philippines is the number one country that says they know God really exists and have no doubt about it. America, United States, is number five on the list. Israel is number three. Poland is number four. Now, on the list of don't believe, I'm just going to give you the first five that don't believe. It's Germany, Germany, France, the Netherlands, Sweden, and Great Britain, who they say are like the top five who say, I don't believe in God. And they got different scenarios. They even have a list of people believing in a personal God, and they did that in the countries. They have a list with strong atheists, a list that's certain that God exists, agree that God personally concerned with people. They have a, and it's different. They've been doing this different study. So, and it's so many countries. I don't even want to read the list. Like, it's about 30 names on each paper, like 30 countries. And I'm looking at it. These are people, like how you always talk about, Aaron, about different countries that are, people are raised differently. They come up with different, you know what I mean, customs and traditions. And they're raised in different households, you know what I mean, different beliefs. So looking at this list, based upon how far everyone is from each other and the different customs and traditions, it's crazy how they came up with these numbers and how in certain places there is more of a strong belief in God than there is in others. And this is like based on an actual
statistic.
Habitation. Yes, yeah, statistic. You know what I'm saying? But it was done. You know what I'm saying?
My question is, what is the consequence? You know, going back to the title of this of this show, I mean, what if they, you know, really don't believe in anything? Well, I don't even know what to say anymore. If they do believe or don't believe or kind of believe, but if they don't believe in anything, so does that mean that when they die, to them, nothing happens? They just die, and that's it. In my opinion, you know, I'm kind of jaded by the whole Christianity. No offense to anybody, but that's going back to what I was saying in the very beginning about us filling in the blanks for our comfort. You know, for what, you know, just to make us feel good about the afterlife. So we just kind of say, hey, this is what we think is going to happen, even though we don't have any idea. It makes it easier, for, in my opinion, for us to live the way we live with an idea that maybe this is going to happen when we die. And then them, they're sitting here, they're living their life in those countries you're talking about who have no belief at all in some sort of God. Are they just living and just pointless living?
No, see, I don't know why people think that you have no sense of purpose, you have no sense of drive, you have no sense of anything if you don't believe in a God. There are well capable, functional people who actually live an everyday life. Some live with awesome lives, some live with very mundane lives, who don't believe in any type of God. God doesn't necessarily, a belief in God doesn't necessarily dictate how well your life is.
Let me ask you this about that, though. If the one credit that I can give to Christians by filling in the blanks is that since they do that, they feel when they're living their life that they're living for a higher or bigger purpose than them. And those people who you're talking about who don't have any belief, yeah, they might live what we might call productive life, but they lack that higher purpose.
No, they don't. They don't lack a higher purpose, because what kind of purpose can be higher than the well-being of yourself, your family, and your fellow humans around you? What higher purpose can you actually have?
In Christianity,
no, listen.
the higher purpose is serving God.
Yeah,
that is the highest purpose.
Behold, but listen.
That's
serving
the highest purpose.
Serving God does not dictate whether or not my life has meaning and I can't do any higher good.
But you got to understand, though, with Christians, right, they look at themselves, or we look at ourselves in this life, that this is temporal, that we're not living, we're living for another kingdom. We're living beyond this because we look at ourselves as a spirit being housed in the flesh, and it's our spirit that lives after this flesh dies. And that will be determined where you will spend your life. So we live and store our treasures in heaven and hoping in the kingdom of God.
And that's totally
In layman's terms, what he's saying is that Christians have a point A on the GPS map and a point B. The atheist, and from my opinion, from hearing this, is that the atheists just have point A on the map, you know, on the GPS that they're putting in, and they're not putting a point B because they feel like, well, you know what, I don't really need to put somewhere I need to go.
No, totally not true, not at all.
No, I think what it's saying is like this. Some people believe that in this earth realm, this is all it is. It's nothing beyond this. You live your life, you raise your family, you go to work, you make your money, you put your money in your bank account, you buy cars, you buy houses, you treat your neighbor right or you treat them wrong. People treat you right or they treat you wrong. You live your life. Once you die, you cease to exist. There's no consequence on your life. There's nothing beyond living in this world.
If that's the case, why don't I just die now?
Well, see, this is what I wanted to say.
No, do you agree with that, Aaron?
No, I don't. Yes, I do partly, but I won't say I agree with everything that you said because that is not.
I want to know what you don't agree with before you even go any further.
Because that is not just the life of someone who doesn't believe in God. For instance, I actually know and I've heard of, I know people and I actually heard of people that actually don't believe in God, more or less don't believe in your particular God. And then, like I said, some that don't believe in God at all. Their lives, a lot of their lives aren't just that mundane. Some people actually who don't believe in God, these are the people I'm talking about. Some people actually say, I want to help people. Just because I don't believe in God doesn't mean that I don't have the mind and I don't necessarily have the drive to want to help my fellow human.
Based upon everything in the earth realm. Whether they treat someone good or they treat them bad, they don't believe that there's nothing beyond this earth realm.
Yes, and if you let in, as I finish, I'll keep going to let you know.
All right, I just want
to
make sure.
Basically wanted to add on to what you actually said, because there is a higher purpose than themselves, which is to help fellow human beings. You have to understand. I have to get my point across in order for
all
you
right.
know.
All right, I hear you, but I just make it sure because I just want to make sure that the point that you're getting across stays with what I was talking about and not go somewhere else.
And while you finish that sentence, can you also, while you're finishing it, explain why? Why do they want to help other people? For what?
Yeah, because there's no purpose beyond, like, this world. You know what I mean? Like, why do it?
Why?
When somebody feels as though this is all they have and the excuse of an afterlife isn't necessarily something that they accept, what they do is they capitalize on the time that they actually have now. They don't minimize the time because they don't take this life shortly, like Christians actually or believers actually do. They think this is just a moment in time. But what people don't necessarily who don't believe in the God, they say, you know what?
This is my time.
Oh, wait. This is my time to maximize what I have right now. I'm going to be the best husband that I can be. I'm going to be the best father I can be. I'm going to be the best supporter of gay rights, or I'm going to be the best supporter of helping people in need. I'm going to be all of that because I have this time, this purpose right now. And the reason why I do it is because I have a higher power, which is the rights for humanity. I do this because I want my children's children, their children's children, to live a productive life. I'm not necessarily living for myself, but I'm not living for an excuse for damnation. Meaning of the consequence. Meaning that I do not think, or I do not believe, that if I don't do these things, there is going to be a cosmic justice for me after I die. I do this solely because I love the human race. I don't do it because I'm scared. If I don't do it, God is going to judge me and I'm going to hell for it. So then you have to ask yourself the reason why Christians do these things. Do they do it with the intent of love, or do they do it with the fear of the consequence of hell?
All right. Now listen. That's why, remember we had the show, do you fear hell more than you fear God? But remember, mm-hmm. I was going to let the topic be, do you fear hell more than you love God?
Mm-hmm.
So, and you saying that, you're saying that they do that, you're saying do Christians do it for the fear of hell, or do they do it for the love of God? That's what you're saying, right? When you just were giving that example, when you just said it.
Yeah, I'm not denying it. I'm sorry. I apologize. I wasn't denying it.
No.
Devil's advocate does not apologize.
Yeah, get the devil one up, man. Now let me stop playing. No. And so my thing is, this is my question to you, right?
Mm-hmm.
Who's the brother that called in? What's your name again?
My real name?
No. Did you call the other on Monday?
Yeah, I was Mr. Catholic on Monday.
Oh, Mr.
Now
Catholic.
Mr.
Oh,
X
all right.
Catholic.
What's going on? Let me ask you this.
He said he's not a Catholic anymore because
he
had a conversation with us.
He called in twice. You done called in twice now.
The Pope sent me an email, and he was like, you're done.
All right, let me ask you this question. Do you believe that purpose and love can exist without God? Can love exist without God?
Yes, I do.
I don't know. I think it can exist, but it's not the same love. I mean, I understand that, you know, in our lives, you know, we have different types of love for different people. Okay, some people may be put under an umbrella of it's all the same love anyway. But I feel that the way that we show our love is different for different people. Okay, so go ahead. What were you saying?
No, go ahead.
So your question is asking, do I think that you can have that love without having the higher power? You can, but it won't be the same, because I feel that people who are living with a purpose, with a point B on the GPS map, live their life a different way. But my problem with those people who have that point A and point B, like Christians, right, is that they fill in so many blanks that it makes it hard for. It makes it hard for somebody who's an atheist to ever even want to believe in what that Christian believes in, because that Christian has so many unproven fill in the blanks. You get what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So,
well, I mean, me personally, I actually think yes, they actually can love without God. Can they love in a good way, in a great way, in a very productive way? Yes, I absolutely think so. Not only think so, I know so, because, like I said, I know people who don't believe in any particular God, and they actually do love. I do know people that do believe in a God and hate very bad and very hard. So, I mean, you know, I don't know necessarily the difference, so to speak. I believe you can do either or, whether you believe or don't believe.
But to support, let's say, what we call the Christian love, to support that, I would say that the Christian love, since it has that point B that you're trying to get to, since it has that purpose, right?
I'm sorry to cut you off, but you got to stop saying purpose. In what sense of the word are you using purpose
in a Christian way?
Because the reason
I say purpose is because there's a lack of purpose, whether you want to admit it or not. There's a lack of purpose for the atheists.
No, there isn't. There isn't lack of purpose of anything.
All right. They have, in your words, you're saying, Jim, to me, that they have a different purpose. Their purpose is to actually, you know, just love as much as they can on this earth, in this life, right?
Yes.
But it's not, that is so, in my opinion, not infinite, that it leaves you hungry. It leaves you hungry
for
more.
I'm going to tell you why it doesn't.
You'll be equivalent to somebody that's full, but not overfull.
That's
like, you know, when
you are just
too much.
Right now, you're just being a very, very good poet, because what you're saying has no validity to it, because you can't necessarily prove it. But not only that, what I would say to that is, no, it doesn't just stop there, because whether I believe in a God or not, let's say I don't believe in a God, and I actually, you know, show my kids love, and I show my kids purpose through love, and I show my kids how to be a great dad, but I don't necessarily believe in God, then they actually, it's chances that they may actually grow up with that same mentality. And it is higher than me, because I'm not living necessarily for myself. I'm living for the better of myself and the people and humans around me. So
you know what my other problem with atheism is? The fact that they dispute a lot of religious beliefs, and this is not in support of either side, okay? They dispute their so many religious beliefs, which I do understand, and I do feel that a lot of those religious beliefs are just passed down through doctrine, and some of them don't even make any sense whatsoever. But the atheists most of the time can't prove wrong what the religious people are saying, and the religious people can't prove that it's true what they're saying. So it just goes back and forth, back and forth, back and forth.
Of course. That's why there really isn't any absolutes when it comes to belief. That's why it's called belief. And very, very militant atheists have basically nothing to stand on, because they say there absolutely is no God. And you can't say that. And the most fundamental believers actually say that there is a God. And you can't say that, because if you say there is a God, then you take out belief. So the whole notion of faith is to believe. And you're right. Atheists cannot say God does not exist, because they don't know. So honestly, everybody falls under the same umbrella. We're all agnostics. We don't
know. Now,
what's the
consequences?
Exactly. Well, see, then you have to ask yourself, which God? Because each different God, each different religion has a different consequence.
My comment after that is, oh, God. Oh, God, where do we begin? My God. I mean, that's the only thing I can think of. My God.
But coming from a Christian aspect and a Christian's point of view, the consequence is very, 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 very horrific. It's horrific to the point where it only makes sense. I mean, it doesn't make sense there, but it only can make sense through religion, through basically a very, 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 very high point of consciousness, who we claim to be God, who has no right or wrong. Meaning that, and I say that to say this, let's say my child, right, I'm his or her father, and my child says, you know what, Dad, you're not my dad, you're not my father. And because they say that, it's my right as a father to throw them downstairs and burn them, actually literally burn them. And I'm justified because I created them. I'm totally justified by it because I created them. But in reality, and in today's time, we look at that as being absurd. And somebody can go to jail and freaking rot under the jail if somebody does that. But it totally makes sense in the context of religion, which I don't knock. I mean, you know, I don't knock it at all. I mean, you know, it's part of tradition and part of religion and part of a belief. I mean, you know, I can't necessarily knock that per se.
That makes total sense. Now, can I say something in defense?
Well, you know what, Eric, you said
religion?
That. Hold on. You said something about
go ahead.
Agnostics, right? Didn't you mention that?
Oh yes. And basically,
you said we all are.
Yes, Gnosticism. That basically is to know. Agnosticism means I don't know.
Yeah, so that's what you're saying, that we all are.
Yeah. Uh huh.
I don't believe that.
Okay.
Hold up. That's really, when you're talking about that, you would actually be saying they don't believe or not believe, right?
Excuse me?
They don't pick a side of belief or unbelief.
No, the only thing they say is it may be a God, it may not be a God. I don't know.
Now, a theist and an atheist is one who believes and disbelieves, right? They
yes.
they choose a side, right? So
yes, uh-huh.
Advocate. So what you would actually say that you are agnostics, like you, but like that's what you don't know.
I am
and
taking.
You choose neither disbelief or belief. Right?
No.
I'm talking
I don't.
About based upon who you're speaking for tonight on the show.
No. And based upon who I'm speaking for.
I think I'm more the agnostic tonight.
I say.
Go ahead.
I say that there is a God, but my question would be for myself is which one of them. I believe that there is definitely something higher than myself who actually jump started, you know, the whole existence. But will I pinpoint it to a certain religion? That's where I say I don't know, because I don't.
So you would say you actually believe that we have nothing here in the earth realm that can let's say, provide us with sufficient evidence that there is a deity greater than ourselves.
I will not say that indefinite, and I can't say that because maybe one day in the future there will be. But as of now, no. But maybe there will be.
Can I say something in defense of religion for a second? In my opinion, all different religions, right? I see the purpose for them. I don't necessarily, at this moment, subscribe to any individual religion, but I get it. I understand why humanity has to put fill in the blanks with what they believe and follow and go by the doctrines that they write, okay? Because the reason I get it is because I understand that most religions sort of give guidelines. So it gives you a, going back to that GPS, I know it sounds kind of, you know, mundane, but it kind of gives you, okay, make a left here, make a right here if you want to get to point B. make a, you know, make a U-turn here, you know, if you want to get to point B, and whatever that point B might be. So that's, in my opinion, I understand why there is religion and why sometimes it is important, and especially important in children, because I would rather have a child that is necessary, is growing up with some sort of guidelines, whether they're true guidelines or not, not really important at the time that the child is young. When the child gets older and smarter and is able to, you know, navigate themselves without a GPS, then they can go ahead and choose their own way. But I understand, in my opinion, I understand why different religions are important. That's just my stand on that.
You know what, Advocate? I understand now almost your take on it. What umbrella you fall under?
Okay, well, just to add on to what the caller said, I actually think that religion is very, very, very essential. I think it's needed. I think in a lot of ways it's good. The only thing that I would say is we can actually do away with bad religion. I think we can keep the good religion, which probably consists of, just like he said, guidelines. But guidelines in a sense, or guidelines in the way of not condemning anyone. Guidelines in the way of allowing people to, like you said, navigate through
religion
life
with no consequences. That's what you're saying.
No, I'm not saying religion without any consequences. Everything has consequences. Everything.
Well,
I just don't agree with afterlife consequences because it can't be proven. And I think it's absurd and obscene. And if this God, well, if this God is all loving and all great and, you know, all this stuff, I don't see why there has to be that.
Okay, in Christianity,
for the lack of unbelief.
Oh, so you said
that's
in Christianity, there's hell, right? In Christianity, we have hell. My question for either one of you, is, isn't it kind of unchristian to have hell?
What you mean it's unchristian to have hell? Like, what you mean?
Like,
by that?
The whole basis of Christianity is forgive one another, love one another, even if, you know, those that make mistakes or sins can be forgiven, et cetera, et cetera. Doesn't hell kind of not make sense in that
whole
concept?
Hell's purpose was not create. Hell wasn't created for man. According to the Bible, hell was created for the devil and his angels, the ones who rebelled. And that's who it was created for. Then, according to the Bible,
that we go there.
I would totally disagree with that. I would totally disagree with that.
But
which
we
mean,
do
the
teach,
Bible,
we do
no, the Word of God,
there,
says,
right?
The Word of God says that. So, where do you get your disagreement from it? From
we go to hell if we don't live right.
No. You don't go to hell if you don't live right. You don't. You go to hell if you don't.
Right.
Yeah, if you don't believe. Yeah, but
yeah,
no.
Yeah.
When what I disagree with is because you're talking about a benevolent God who knows the end and the beginning, who knows all, sees all loving, all everything. You're telling me that he was just winging it as he went along, and you're saying that he didn't know that hell was actually going to be for sinners and for people that did not accept him. That doesn't make any sense.
No. That's just the way you're saying it. What I'm saying, his intentions, first of all, the Bible says, yo, that he wishes that none would perish. It's not his intentions. You know
what
I mean?
Total contradiction.
No, listen, he wishes none that would perish, but he still has rules. So if you choose to go against the principles that he set, there is a consequence behind it. Just like right now, if your child, if you break rules, if you break rules right now, if I go out here and I shoot 10 people, it's a consequence behind that. It don't matter how I look at it and be like, well, y'all supposed to love me. Y'all supposed to be people of love. It's still a consequence.
That way.
Yeah,
if you
exactly.
Break rules,
yeah, exactly. Hold on,
right?
Hold on. Listen. Yes, it is a consequence. And check this out. The consequence is just like you said. The consequence is jail. The consequence may be capital punishment and death. Those are the consequences. But what religion does, especially Christianity takes it a step further and says, after the consequence of living here and being sentenced for 50 lifetimes or 30 years in prison or a death sentence, they say after you die, you still get sentenced, a death sentence.
And you know what? And that's
not if you find God while you was in jail, though. If you ask
exactly. I apologize for that one, yeah. And I also wanted to make a point, too, but Jay, go ahead. You was going to say something.
No, what I'm saying is I hear what you're saying, right? But the thing about it, let's say, and not saying that you believe it, I believe hell to be true, but you don't believe it to be true. But do you not believe it true because you really don't want it to be true? And just because
I don't think...
No, let's just say.
Okay,
because
okay,
you
okay.
look at it, you look at God and you make decisions like, well, because I don't agree with that. I don't feel as though that God should do that. I don't feel as though that a God of love, I feel as though that regardless of what I do, that God, if he created a hell, he should not send me there. I can break every one of his principles. I don't have to ask for forgiveness. I mean, I could just do what I want to do without no consequence because he's a God of love, and that's just my perfect world. He should go by how I want him to go. He should make the choices that I want him to make for me.
Okay.
That's what it sounds like. You know what I mean? Just
okay.
like you.
Okay, well,
you
hold on.
Let me talk. You don't have the floor for a second. One second. Let me just say one more thing. Just like you, Aaron, you'll say you're agnostics, right? You don't claim that there's any proof, right? You view like there's no claim of existence of any deity, right? According to what you believe, right? Like there's no proof, right?
No, because I told you before, I believe in God.
But you still believe in such an existence, though. You still believe in God, even feeling that way. So you mix theism with agnostics, like you merge the two together.
I mix theism with Gnostics?
Theism, you merge the two together.
I am what you may call, if you want to put a label on me, I am an agnostic theist.
Theist, yeah, that's what you are, yeah. Okay.
All right. I definitely would say that. But my question to you is, I would point this question to you. Do you want there to be a hell? And it's just an easy yes or no answer.
You said, do I want there to be a hell?
Yes.
Answering the question?
Mm-hmm.
No.
Okay.
Yeah, no. Like, I wouldn't, but you got to understand, I believe that God is bigger than my wants. In the way you know what I'm saying? I'm the creation. I look at myself as the creation. I don't look at myself as bigger than the creator. I don't look at
me
more power than him.
Me neither.
You know what I'm saying? So I believe that right now, if he makes a choice and he has established a blueprint. And if that's the blueprint, me as the creation, what can I do? It doesn't matter how you feel about it. If you go to another country and you steal something and they choose to whip you 50 times with a whip, regardless how inhumane the whole world will look at that being done, it's still a rule and it's still a principle over there that they set was broken, and it's a consequence behind it. So why, if God has a principle and a consequence behind it, we look at it like, oh, why would God do such a thing when man does it and you have no choice but to abide by it?
Because man does do that, And not only does man fight against that, man doesn't have to accept that, and we can change that. And we have changed a lot of rules. If you think back, you don't even have to go back to first century. You can go back to medieval times. Do you know the kind of tortures that they actually did that are totally abolished away with now? Because we as human beings, we have grown, we have evolved, and because of humanity, we say, you know what? We don't have to do these things anymore. But religion actually taught it. That navigation to the B point, that actually, that whole after purpose and all that crap you were talking about, those people actually wanted to hurt people and wanted to kill people and wanted to do all these things, but people who didn't believe.
We're not going to disrespect each other's faith.
No, I'm not disrespecting his faith.
I'm just saying we're not going to call it stuff like that. We're not. If I believe in heaven, we're not going to be on the show calling it crap.
I didn't call it crap.
There are other listeners out here.
No, I did not call it crap. I did not call it crap. I didn't call his religion or what he believes crap.
No, you called it crap. That's what you just said.
Wait, okay. Let me ask you two questions. For both of you to answer. And I'll start with Mr. Miller first. Do you feel that this makes sense? This scenario. I'm born. I never got a chance to be, you know, to get the word of God, and I never got saved, okay? And I die, and I'm going to hell, right? And I am, there's another person that came here, killed a couple of people, got saved, and they're going to heaven because they asked for forgiveness. And whatever, and then they ended up at the right hand of the Father. Does that make sense?
Can I phrase that different? Can I phrase that a little bit different? I think what you're saying is, let me ask you the question.
Let me be direct with you. According to my faith, what I believe that Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. I believe that He is the mediator between man. I believe through His death and Him rising, and us believing in it, according to our faith, is what connects us to that. So I believe that if a murderer asks for forgiveness through Jesus Christ, and he believes and confesses, I believe that he is saved. All right? I believe that is the way, according to my faith, what I believe.
Now, what about the other guy that I told you about that just never even believed?
Well, he just answered your question. Yeah, he said only through Jesus Christ. But I would put it another way.
Goes to hell. That's it.
I would put it another way. Check this out.
Okay.
Let's say, for instance, Hitler. Right. Hitler. We know him to be one of the most hideous people who actually lived on the face of this earth. He killed people. He killed thousands of people. Matter of fact, he killed God's chosen people. He killed the Jews. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Okay. Then we have Mother Teresa who lived all her life doing the Christian duty, which is to give from herself, to be kind to people, to do charity, to do all these things, and she has been known to have accepted Jesus Christ as a personal savior and all that stuff. Okay. You're basically saying that both of them are about to die. Hitler killed thousands of people, genocide.
Correct.
And right before he dies, he sincerely says, God, please forgive me for all the sins that I have done. Okay,
let me check this.
I want to finish it. Because people out there, listen. No. Listen. Because people out there probably don't know where I'm going. So just let me say what I got to say.
Okay.
And then you can answer afterwards. So now, Hitler accepts it. I mean, you know, Hitler gets saved, and bam, he's meeting, you know what I'm saying, St. Paul or St. Peter at the gates, and he goes into heaven. Now, Mother Teresa, all these years she's done all this stuff, but right before she dies, she says to herself, you know what, I did all this stuff, and I don't know if it was worth anything, and I'm starting to question my faith, and I'm starting to question my belief. You know what, I don't even believe this stuff anymore, and bam, she dies. According to the Christian faith, doesn't make a difference. If Hitler accepts Jesus Christ as his personal savior right then and there, he's going to heaven. If Mother Teresa denies Christ before she dies, she's going to hell. It doesn't matter how good she did, and it doesn't matter how bad he did.
Because according to the word, it's not about your works. It's about your faith. It's about faith. It's not about you. It's not about it's about faith in God and faith in Christ, faith in the Son of God, according to the Christian belief, according to the word, or however you want to look at it.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
And
guess what? Look at that and be like, why?
Jesus, that's a tough one to swallow.
Hold on. But check it out. Check it out. Now, we just talked about the consequence, right? Guess what? Mr. Hitler, he doesn't see any consequence. None whatsoever. Yeah, he's chilling. No cosmic justice for him, because now he's totally involved.
But you understand, just like we talked about, Jesus Christ, he died for the sins of the world. And
accept that
and acknowledge that. When you accept that, that's what gives you salvation.
Yeah, I know.
That's the whole thing.
Exactly.
Right, so there are some people, like probably y'all, that feel like that's wrong, right?
I think everybody in their right mind would think that's wrong.
You said you have to be in your right mind to feel that it's
wrong? No, I said everybody in their right mind.
I might be in my wrong mind, then. I don't know what's going on. That's got me blown right now, because
this is my thing. You could do the most horrific things in this world, the most horrific things, and all you have to do is accept Jesus Christ as personal Savior afterwards, right before you die, and you make it into heaven. So there is no justice for you. There's no type of consequence for you. Somebody who actually doesn't believe, they've done good all their life. They've treated people nice. They've done everything in their world. And for 1 second, they may not believe. Boom.
They get damnation for the rest of eternity. But it's not your deeds. First of all, the thing is acknowledging God and the Son of God and not accepting the Son of God according to the scripture. That's the thing. It's not, I don't care if you went out and you fed people breakfast every day. If you don't acknowledge the Son of God according to the scriptures, those good works don't get you into the kingdom. It's the
evidently.
But Mr. Miller, can you understand with a situation like that why somebody would question over and over those scriptures? Like, who wrote that again?
You get what I'm saying?
Hmm?
Well, see, this is why I believe once you know the history, just like our previous caller from Minnesota, he called in and he was talking. That's why it's very important to know the history. If you know the history of how religion started, how the Bible was canonized, why all the books wasn't put into canonization, if you find out the history behind your religion, you will be more realistic about reality.
No,
but
you got to understand.
So,
regardless of you being realistic or not, right, however you look at it, you're actually saying that your view is greater than God.
Nope, I'm saying my view
your
is greater than whoever wrote the book.
Your opinion is greater than God.
I'm saying my view is 10 times better than first century doctrine. Yes, I am. Of course I am, and you are too, because you would not take your daughter, who misbehaved, like it says in the Old Testament, you won't take her out at the end of town and stone her to death because she misbehaves. You would not take somebody who actually dresses different than you or someone who acts as effeminate. You won't sentence them to death. You know why? Because you're greater than that. But what you do now is you say, oh, we don't do that because we don't live by the Old Testament. We live under grace now. So basically what happens is your religion evolved based on humanity.
That's what I say.
Based on society.
In the beginning when we just fill in the blanks of how we want it to be.
My thing is like this. We understand, listen, man has many flaws. I don't care whether you're educated or uneducated, rich or poor, fat or skinny. We all have flaws, mental flaws, physical flaws, relationship flaws. I mean, all different type of things. But I believe, and I'm only speaking for me, I believe with all the flaws that man has, when you remove God out of the equation in your life, that is the worst decision ever. When you leave God out and think that my views and my opinions and is greater than God and his principles and what he has set for us. And just like I said earlier in the show, I don't know if y'all...
Go ahead.
I said, I don't know if y'all was listening early on the show. When I started the show, I made a statement that regardless of what man has done to the Bible, and I know there are many people who say, you know, this scripture has been altered, and this has been altered, this been removed, this been added, and this, and it most likely it has. There's been a whole bunch of stuff that has happened throughout history over time and time. But the greatest thing that has not happened is the concept and the perception that there is a God. Regardless of what happened, the fact that in the scriptures, according to the scriptures in the Bible, from those times back, way back years and years ago, the mere fact that it still remained and it made it from that time to this time that there is a God. And he exists, regardless of how you look at the scriptures, how it been altered, what word been removed, what letter been added. It has never been removed that there is no God. And I believe that man, regardless of what he tries to do, he cannot stop the assignment of God and God's mission for man.
I'm going to duck real quick because I'm outside right now, so I don't get struck by lightning, because I do fear something. We all know I fear something. But excuse me, everybody, and that's listening on their radio for what I'm about to say, but I actually feel that you have some cojones, in fact, I'm so scared for what I'm about to say, I forgot his name, and it is an important name, but for him to come back from the mountain and
Moses?
There you go, Moses. Yeah, I'm so scared right now. But so that Moses or any person, a human being, a man, has the audacity to say that they are writing down God's word? Wow, that takes some cojones. And you tell people that, and then you're going to tell the people that they have to live by those words? Man, you are the bravest man on the planet to do something like that.
Well, this is my response to your what you said and what Jay said.
I'm sorry, God. Whatever I
do. I do not. Everything that Jay actually said, I mean, not everything, but some of the things that he said, I totally agree with. I do not think that I'm higher than something that could have possibly created me. I don't even claim to be. I don't claim to know it all. I don't claim to have all the answers. I don't claim any of that stuff. I don't claim to be greater than any creator of any. So I don't even claim to be greater than my mom. So let alone be greater than any creator. But to say all that, what I do say and what I can say is I am greater. I am 10 times greater than a very, very primitive way of thinking. And I believe that the human race is greater than a very primitive way of thinking. I would never tell anybody to live by guidelines that are unrealistic, does not show any type of morality in it, and I will never claim that God has anything to do with it. Never in my whole entire life will I say that. The only thing that I will honestly say is that I will live the best way I know how to live. I will believe the best way I know how to believe. And if that's not good enough, and I still go to some type of place of consequence and torment because I don't do it the right way, based on a textual book that was written by people centuries and centuries and centuries ago. See, now me personally, I believe in the God that actually created the heavens and the earth and the stars and actually created the mind and created mankind and created all of these miraculous things, all of these beautiful things. I believe in a God who is smarter, more intelligent than anything we could have possibly imagined. And because I believe in that God, I would never degrade God by saying he will leave the most important thing, one of the most important things to live by through text that can be lost in translation, misinterpreted, somebody messing up, somebody rewriting, somebody putting their own ideas in it.
Oh, wait,
it doesn't make a difference.
Wait. He didn't leave it just in the text. He left it for you to catch it according to your faith in the spirit. That's
exactly.
Why
you're right. And that's what I admit to. I am connected to this creator, and I am connected to him by his spirit. And no book can necessarily tell me that. And the reason why it cannot tell me that is because it is so corrupted. And not corrupted in the sense that it's people actually wrote it intently to hurt people and kill people. I mean, I don't think that was the case. But I actually think that I don't think this great, great, great entity of a being named God would actually rely to leave his great message through text.
All right.
And I'm good with that.
I disagree somewhat right there, right?
One second.
Let me just chime in right here. I'm going to let you
go. Ahead.
Listen, I disagree right there. I believe that God, according to his spirit, I believe the majority of the flaws is seen when we look through our natural eyes. I believe when you are led through the spirit of God, when you are led through the spirit of God, all right, the error that may be there according to man trying to purposely deceive in the word or by human error, all right, but I believe that God's truth through his spirit is going to accomplish what it's going to accomplish. I believe that the error of man cannot stop God's agenda for man. And for those that are willing to
believe that
in
too.
Christ,
I don't know about not that part, but I believe the first part that you said until you got to the Christ part. But the one thing I was going to say was the quick 20 seconds. It's not that long, but from my history knowledge, over the years, kings and queens, the longer years, have at different points in history claimed divine right to whatever. Okay, like different kings and queens had their own agendas, but they claimed divine right. And by them claiming divine right, they gave them absolute power, right? It amazes me, speaking about that, it amazes me that in that same history, people actually revolted and killed those kings and queens that claimed divine right. Saying that people going against them were saying this is just impossible. So how could you say, you know, God gave you the right to rule me, to do this, to do that, or to do whatever you want to? And what amazes me about the Bible and about the scripture and about the different doctrine, and it's not just the Bible that I'm talking about a whole bunch of different religions.
Yeah, me neither, just to let everybody know.
What amazes me is how, because it was written in such and such date and it's lasted this long, that people can't go against that doctrine and say, my God, you claimed that you knew the word of God? Really? You? How? Why? And I have to look up to you. I have to thank you for knowing what God was trying to tell me.
Well, that's why one thing I do agree with Jay with, that God, I believe, not a fact, but I believe that God does move through his people. And I believe that you may have a type of revelation or whatever you want to call it. I believe it's something personal that you may experience with God. But I do not believe that that experience is pinpointed on a particular religion or a particular belief, because how in the world can I measure how true my spirit is compared to a Muslim or compared to a Mormon or compared to a Buddhist or compared to the 30,000 other type of Christian denominations, because it actually is. It's over 30,000 different sects of Christianity.
God.
So how in the world would I depict or even come close to finding out which one is right? I don't think God plays games like that. Oh, well, I'm just going to look back and check out to see which one of these little losers down here gets it right. And the ones that get it right, they're going to be granted life, eternity, and not damned. But everybody else is going to be damned for life,
because
for eternity.
At the end of the day, even if we all are, you know, spiritually bound to the God, to God himself, right, which I also believe in that, right? Man just has a way of just tainting things. Like when it was when it favored the Jews, you know, the Jews were writing down their Bible. They were the oppressed at the time for years and ages and ages and ages.
Good thing you brought that up, because I want to add on.
They were the oppressed ones, and then all of a sudden, the Jewish Bible is translated and into English, and and explains that the Jews were the chosen ones. And I'm like, whoa, wait a minute. So you mean tell me nobody here had an agenda here? What's going on? And then man just has a way of continuously tainted. And what do the Jews claim? Divine right again. The same divine, you know. And then how could you just keep taking these people's different human beings' words for what they believe God meant? Now, to agree with both of you, I do believe in that spirituality with God, and I do believe that the good in us can guide us the right way, whatever we may feel is the right way, heading towards the hand, you know, the right hand of the Father. Now, the whole Jesus thing, here's the reason, Mr. Miller, I kind of stopped when I was talking to you, when you said, you know, in Jesus Christ, and I said, well, not in that
part. Well,
because
I believe in Jesus
here.
Christ. I mean, I believe in Christ.
Well, yeah, I believe in Christ also. But my problem is, and I call it a
problem.
That's my
Savior.
I'm so ashamed that I have to say it's a problem. that my problem is that I believe in Jesus Christ for the way that he lived. I believe that he was teaching us something. I believe that he was showing us a way of living that was greater than. I'm so sorry, God, I'm still going to get struck by lightning. But I'm so sorry, but I really don't. Oh, God, I really can't say this, can I?
All right, well, can I interject then if you can't say it?
I'm so scared right now. Oh, wait, I can't even talk about it.
All right, hold, listen. To piggyback on what you said before, I believe that's where, I'm not saying for fact, but, you know, just coming from my own self and my own theory on it, I'm actually backed up because I'm quite sure other people think this way as well. But dealing with the whole consequence and dealing with the Bible and dealing with the Old Testament, dealing with the New Testament, you got to remember, like I said, the history of it. And when you look at it, the people who actually were who this whole premise was based on were the Jews. And the Jews, you have to remember, they were the oppressed people, just like he said. They were the people that were actually being taken over by the Syrians. They were being taken over by the Romans. They were being taken over by Greece. They were being taken over by everybody on a continuum basis throughout their history. They were constantly being taken over. So what happens? These people say, you know what? Because we cannot see further than our life, and the only thing we do see is us being ostracized and us always being in captive. So what do we look at? We say, okay, we probably can't have justice here on earth, but we believe that one day justice will come to us. And if it doesn't come, it's going to come in the afterlife. It's going to come in the life after, because there's no possible way that we can be the chosen people and constantly be on the bad part of the stick. There's no possible way. And for all those people who kept doing bad to us and kept doing bad to us, and it doesn't seem like these people will ever get punished, yes, they will get punished, because the God that we serve, this God is going to punish them, and this God is going to set the world straight, because everybody should actually be equal. Everybody should actually have the right to equality. So if that's the case, God is going to make the situation right. And for all those people that didn't actually get paid the consequences while they were here on earth, yes, they're going to get theirs at the end. And I can see that being so true, because it's human nature for somebody to, if I put harm on somebody else, it's my nature to want to see harm done to that person. It's my nature. Whether I accept it, whether I admit it or not, it's my nature for payback. It's my nature to see them be harmed as much as I was harmed.
Okay. Am I lost, Mr. Miller?
I hear you on that.
Mr. Miller?
Left.
Hello?
His phone's...
Hello?
Yeah, your phone's breaking up a little bit.
Can you hear me?
Your phone's breaking up.
Hold on one second. Can you hear me?
Yeah, better now. Yeah.
But my question was, am I
I was
lost?
Saying that we got like 10 minutes left on the show tonight, and I just want to... just ask just a couple questions. Start with the devil's advocate tonight.
Yes, sir.
Out of this conversation tonight,
mm-hmm.
That's taken place.
Mm-hmm.
Through the, I guess, three minds that was actually in discussion. What do you think some of the callers or some of the people that may be listening live or who may listen to the archives later,
mm-hmm.
what do you think they will get from it?
Hopefully they will get a better understanding of humanity. They will get a better understanding of saying to themselves, whether I believe or not, all I want to do is have a better life for myself, my family, and you know, my fellow human race. I just want a better life for all of us so that one day my children can live a productive life and life may get better and so on and so on.
Mr. Catholic?
It's ex-Catholic.
Well, Mr. Ex-Catholic.
Yeah, I would want somebody walking away from this conversation to hopefully not feel the way that I feel right now, meaning conflicted, because at the end of the day, I still love God with all my heart, and I say what I say because it's what comes to my mind and it's what I feel. I don't say it with no negative intent, and I don't say it with any malice in mind. I just don't feel in my heart, in my personal heart, that it's necessarily wrong for me to question God from time to time. It's a natural human emotion, you know, and I think that whoever would walk away from this conversation should feel that, you know, it's healthy for you to continuously explore these ideas, you know, and hear all sides to maybe at some point find your life and find your way.
Okay. Well, listen, to the callers that may, listeners and that out there on the air, if you want to actually send us some emails, some questions, you can send to Minister Jay Miller's email. My email is goddrum77@gmail.com, goddrum77@gmail.com. Brother, the devil's advocate right now, he's going to give you an email where you can reach him personally if you have any questions for him at this time.
Okay. You can reach me at dirtychurchradio@gmail.com. That's basically the Gmail for our site. That's where a lot of questions actually come in, and they will get answered on air. Also, if you want, you can actually give us some, you know, give us some input, give us some advice.
Hold
you know
on.
What I'm
we
saying?
Got another
on,
caller that's calling in these last seconds.
Okay.
On the show, hold on. Hello?
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 How you doing?
I'm doing good. How are you guys doing?
We're doing great. We're doing great, yes.
You called in at the last couple of minutes of the show, but what did you actually have?
But that's because I enjoy the whole show. I've been listening to you guys for the last hour or so, actually, since your show started. And I'm calling from Tennessee. So I just, you know, I learned a lot because I learned different perspectives of people's religion and how they think. Me, myself, as a Christian, you know, I do believe in God. I believe in faith. I believe in the things that are not seen. And, you know, I really have a strong belief if you don't or you're not a believer, I do believe in donation myself. But I can see where other religions may have their own beliefs as well. I just feel that as each person individually, we all have our own life. We all have our own path that we're going on. And I feel like as long as you're doing what you were supposed to do, you know, who's to say you're wrong in how you're living your life? You know, so as long as you have a faith and you believe in it, or you know, whatever it is that some people believe in, I feel like you're just supposed to stay true to that. Keep it moving. But you guys did a great job tonight. I most definitely listened throughout the whole show, and so I'll keep listening, you know, in the future. So that's all.
We're
so glad
you
that you called in and listening. And listen, if you can, spread the word about Dirty Church Radio. We're trying to get as many people as possible to call in, and we thank you so much for you just sharing this time with us and listening.
Yeah, please call back. Thank you guys. So.
We'd love to hear from you.
Yeah, no problem.
Well,
you guys have a good night. I'm about to end mine, so
I'll kind of
catch up with you guys next time.
All right,
okay.
Be blessed.
All right, can I just say one last thing? Just one last thing for me. I'm sorry, God, for anything that I might have said tonight. I love you to death, to God. This is my letter to God. I love you to death. If he was your son, for real, and I'm your son, I love him too. I love everybody. I love my brothers on this and my sisters on this call. I love everybody out there. So, you know, please save me. Please, I'm sorry. I'm really sorry for whatever I said that might have been wrong. I really don't know. I say my ignorance is my bliss.
Well, I'm going to tell you, on Dirty Church Radio, like we said, your opinions and views is welcome. We're not afraid to confront any issues or different views and points that we might have. But one thing we can agree upon is that we are all human beings, and I believe that we should all respect each other and that we should all try to do our best to live amongst each other. I'm a minister, and my belief is in Christ and in God, and I don't knock anyone else what they believe. My brother Aaron, the devil's advocate, Spradley, that's my brother. I love him. That's the role that he plays on this show. I'm going to let him take the show out tonight with his last comments, but before he goes that, for those of y'all out there that may be going through some different issues or different things, from my connection with the God that I believe in, I'm going to say a quick 30-second prayer for y'all that might be going through different things right now. So if y'all could just take a moment of silence right now as I pray, and we'll put it in the hands of a brother Aaron Spradley after that. Lord God, we ask you right now just to touch all the listeners that may be listening. Some may be confused. Some may have got more insight. But whatever has taken place tonight, God, on this show, that I hope even in the midst of the different views and the different opinions, that in the midst of it all, that the people that are listening, it is awakening the consciousness that you exist, and that it can just bring them that much more, just a little closer to you, that they will continue to search and just bless their homes, bless their lives. In the name of our Lord, Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Amen.
Brother Hans Bradley.
For those who believe in the message of Muhammad, keep believing in him strong. For those who believe in the teachings of Buddhism, which is the enlightenment, keep giving yourself enlightenment. For those who believe in Jesus Christ through salvation, keep believing Christ. Keep believing salvation. Love, enjoy life, and live it to the fullest.
Life
Dirty Church Radio.
Peace. As we leave y'all with, we know that you all are the treasure out there. You mean something to God. You have purpose. Just hold on to what you believe, and let no one destroy your perception of God. I appreciate y'all brothers tonight, man.
Yeah, no doubt, man. It was cool.
I appreciate you letting me on again.
It's off now. You can stop the music, can't you?
Are we off now?
Yeah, we're off now.
Okay, yeah, man. I appreciate this outlet, man.
Seriously. Yeah, it's cool.
It's feeding, you know, it's feeding my soul. It's feeding my soul almost daily now, you know, and it's a great feeling, because, you know, that knowledge, I mean, there's a lot of things that I learned from you guys. You don't even realize it. You might think that I already know most of the stuff you're talking about, but there's a lot of stuff that I learned, and I feel richer the next day because, you know, I got that knowledge, and then I could expand on my thoughts even more, you know, stuff that I might have not picked up on my own right now. I might have picked it up a year from now, but I got it right now, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Real cool, man. Real cool, real cool. Real cool.
If I miss the show,
I feel like I miss the whole lot. Like, my day is not fulfilled the next day because, you know, like, I feel empty. Like, I need to go listen to that because, hey, I might have missed one point that could have, you know, opened my eyes right there, you know?
Wow. That's something,
yeah,
man.
That's saying a lot.
You know what? It makes us, it encourages us to keep this thing going. You know what I'm saying? To actually, you know, keep it moving. Because my whole thing, I think me and Aaron had talked about, it's really not about even the masses. If we could just, you know what I mean, enlighten or, you know, one person involved. You know what I mean? That's all that really, really matters. You know what I'm saying? So I believe.
Yeah, like that girl said, it was cool to, because a lot of people might not hear different point of views. You know, they might just hear one thing and they're not too sure. They don't even know what to think. And then to hear a different view kind of puts it in perspective. And then to hear the rebuttal to that view puts it even more into perspective, you know.
Yeah.
And then, I mean, it's not even about who wins or who doesn't win. It's more about that person's mind or that person's a view on things is clearer now.
Yeah, uh-huh. That's what it's all about. That's literally what it's all about.
Yeah, man.
It's just getting a better perspective or a better understanding of actual different ideas besides your own. You know what I'm saying?
Nah.
Different takes on things besides your own. So when the situation comes where you meet somebody who may have a different view than you, you're not so quick to judge them. You know what I'm saying? You would actually pay attention to what they say, and or you know, you can actually have an open dialogue between that person and, you know, find out more about them instead of just, you know.
And not be ignorant.
Exactly.
Yeah. Exactly. Either one of you. Do you think that I was scared for what I was saying because I was beaten by religion, or because I felt deep down in my soul I was doing something wrong, and I was scared. I mean, I was genuinely scared.
I was scared because of religion. I think you were scared because of what religion teaches. That's why I think you were scared.
Okay,
I think
go ahead.
I think you were scared because of that too, but I also think you were scared because I believe you acknowledge God, and if you're thinking that if what I'm saying is wrong, like, please don't judge me. I'm not trying to say this in a disrespectful way.
Lord, don't
look at my view as something disrespectful to you. You know what I mean? I'm not trying to belittle the concept of you or take anyone else's perception of you. You know what I'm saying? So,
That's a more eloquent way of saying what I was trying to say at the end.
I hear you on that. Yo, man, I'm going to tell you, though, right? This is a great thing, man.
Yeah, it really is.
This is a great thing.
No doubt about it.
Tomorrow's show will be at 10 o'clock. Is that good?
Oh, that's fine by me.
Mm-hmm.
The next episode, 10 o'clock, man. Look on Blog Talk Radio tomorrow, you know what I mean? In the morning or later on tonight for the next episode upcoming, so you'll know what's going on and everything like that, man. But
I'm happy if you have me on. I'm happy if you don't have me on. Either way, I'll still be listening.
Listen, I see your number, man. You know what I mean? When I see that 813 area code come up, I'll click you in. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, one thing I forgot to say last time when I was saying, when you asked me to support, you know, and I, you know, Aaron knows me a little bit, so he knows that, like, I will 100, especially how much I love this show, I will 100 60% support this show and get listeners out there listening at to the best of my capabilities. But here's the problem with that. My capabilities are not that great, and I'll tell you why. Because he'll also know that I'm not necessarily on purpose antisocial, but my nature is kind of antisocial. So I'm like one of the last few people that doesn't have a Facebook. Put it like
that.
I'll tell you something, Jay. Like, all right, Bruce. I've known Bruce for God knows how long. I've literally known him for, like, put it this way, the way you are with L. Hello?
Yeah, I'm here.
Oh, the way you are with L is the way I am with Bruce. Maybe even closer. I don't know. But Bruce can actually tell you, because I literally grew up with him. Bruce can actually tell you how I was when I was in church. Like, when I tell you, because it's not just coming from me. You know, you can actually attest. Somebody else can attest to it. I was gung-ho.
Yeah,
when I say I was serious, I was in church all the time, not because I had to go, because I wanted to go. And when it was to the point, literally, seriously, it was to the point where, let's say Bruce had a girlfriend at the time, I would tell Bruce, listen, don't tell me because I'm so holy right now. I would literally tell your girlfriend you're cheating on him, on her. That's how holy I was.
It actually happened. Yeah, like we got to the point that we were just like trying to just basically live right, and it came down to a point like, look, man, it might hurt either one of us at that moment for one of us to stop the other one and whatever you're doing wrong. You might hate me at the moment, but you'll thank me for it later.
And I actually lost a good friend because of during that time. I actually lost one of her, and he actually wanted to fight
me. Me too. It was an awesome,
you told
awesome
on him?
I didn't tell, but we actually told him. We had a conversation like, yo, you're like, we are on this trip right now where we're like really, really trying to do right and trying to be right. And it all stems from me. But I told you, like, I'm when I say I'm really close, I'm close to, you know, Bruce. I'm really, really close to him. So, you know what I'm saying? It was on that tip. Like, yo, I'm doing this. You know what I'm saying? Yo, you could do it or you don't want to do it. Bruce was like, all right, I'm down. But our other boy was like, he said he was, but But
mind you, me, I kept on doing my dirt anyway, knowing that he was gonna not necessarily rat me out, but he wasn't.
No. I didn't rat him out. Like I didn't go tell his girl.
Yeah.
It was just I told him I don't want to have anything to do with it. I don't want to have nothing to do with it
and,
at all.
And this came like total left field too, because when I say we had opportunities, boy, we had opportunity. So it was the probably the thing that saved our lives, because it was that changing moment in your life, because it was that one decision that we made that completely changed our lives for the better, because we could have kept on going down that path so easily.
I actually said that to let you know, like, yo, like, this is nothing new to me. And I know that I tell you, you know what I'm saying, I tell you all the time, but when I say, you know what I'm saying, when I say that I was, like, really, really into the Word, really into church, really into the Bible, really into my whole faith, I really, really was. Really was. To the point where, like, I had a girlfriend that broke up with me because I wasn't having sex with her because I was so holy. Like on that, and coming from the type of person that I was, how I used to, you know what I'm saying, knock off chicks all the time. You know what I mean? So,
yeah, people would never even look at us like we would ever end up being that person that would end up not doing it with that girl, you know what I'm saying, or not messing around with this or with this chick here or this, you know. So people would, in fact, who we are now, people would never even believe who we are right now if you told them. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. And now it's come to the point.
That decision saved our lives.
And now it's come to the point, honestly, where I think Bruce is more religious than I am. Like, really. And
yeah.
Not to say that I'm not necessarily religious, but I'm not religious in the sense of how I used to be. Like, literally left field, like, from night to day. I believe that I'm still spiritual and still religious because, you know, I still believe in certain things that I came up believing in, but just not in the same context like I used to believe in. And I'm just saying now, like, he would be more religious than I was, and that's, like, literally, like, crazy. Because of how I was
Because I still have so much faith in Christianity. Because of what I said earlier in the show, I believe so much that their teachings have so much good in them that those guidelines are so good for people on a general basis that it outweighs the bad that comes with it because of man. So that's the reason I still have so much more faith in Christianity. I just can't, in my soul, I don't know how to explain it to you, but in my soul, I can't back up specific religion because they're so hypocritical. No offense to you, you know what I'm saying?
No, what I'm saying, let me ask, like, whatever religion that you were in when you were in it, were you hypocritical in it?
I was without even knowing it. I was so faithful that I was following the scripture. I was following the word blindly. So 100% belief. So really, I was doing, you know, I was hypocritical in some ways, but not even realizing it because I was just following what I was taught.
Are you following something greater now?
No, I'm not necessarily following.
Were you just searching right now?
I can't say it's greater. That's the thing. I can't necessarily say that it's greater. I just know that it's what I'm following is, I can with 100% certainty say, is not as flawed because I don't fill in all the blanks. I am okay with saying that I don't know. I don't mind saying what I don't know for sure. But I am confident in what I do know. And as you can tell from the phone call, is like one thing I do know with all certainty is whatever God is, even if we are part of God ourselves, each one of us put together one big God, right? I love it to death. That I'm certain about. But all the other stuff, as far as doctrine goes, that I'm not so certain about, I'm just not so scared. I'm still scared. But I'm just not so scared to say, you know what, I don't know. And I'm not even.
Hey, yo, Jay, I have a question for you. When we were talking on air, and you said, now I basically know where you stand or what umbrella you're under now. Like, what did you mean by that?
No, I knew, like, when I heard you talk, like, the thing that had, like, the thing I was listening to when you said, you know,
I think you say the agnostic and atheist.
Yeah, like, not, like, you don't claim, you know what I mean, you claim that, you know, like, there's no proof of existence, like, you know what I mean? So it's like you don't take, like, it's not like you take either side, but would you even believe in that, you still believe in such an existence, like, you still believe. So
yeah, I do.
I looked at, you know, believing, and then agnostic, like you're not one who, you know what I mean, is up in the air, like he doesn't take any particular side, like he doesn't believe or he doesn't unbelieve.
No, but see, that's the thing about it.
There's just no proof.
My thing is, I do believe in a God. My thing is, I don't necessarily know which doctrine to accept,
yeah.
Or more so, I don't necessarily believe in a doctrine per se. I don't believe in a doctrine. Yeah,
I believe in a particular doctrine.
Exactly.
So it makes you an agnostic theist.
Okay.
Well, no, because believing.
Because you still believe in an existence of something greater. You still believe in a deity. You just don't
yes.
know what deity, and you don't know, you know, the bridge to him. You don't know, you know what I'm saying? Like, you don't know, you can't prove him, but you still believe. Because you just
yeah,
go
like
with
the,
that feeling
to
on
him, to him, it's not so much that, like, he's not, I mean, bluntly said, he's not a Christian anymore. But I would
call myself a Christian though.
Yeah, but
you only call yourself a Christian based upon your tradition of what you've experienced through your life, and that's what you had held dear to yourself at one time. So that's the closest Christianity is the closest thing that you've ever came to of actually claiming something when it comes to deity.
But I also still follow the teachings of Christ.
But you know what? Really, on some real, it's almost like you can't help it, though, because you're surrounded by the word all the time. Like, you're surrounded by it. Like, you're a musician in church.
And it's not a bad thing. It's not a bad thing either.
That's a great, yeah,
I'm
saying, so you constantly hear the word.
Yeah.
You constantly hear the teachings of Christ. Like, you constantly hear
And he hears the good teachings of Christ, too, the good teaching. So that it's not such a bad thing that he's still, let's say, part Christian, because he's getting the good out of it. You know what I'm saying? The only problem with it, where he's at, the limbo that he's at, is the fact that, you know, Christianity, or like specific Christian churches, outcast him for that, because in their eyes, You're a lesser being.
Hey, yo, bro, they outcasted him because he ain't letting them know.
He said what?
He said they're not outcasting me because I'm not letting them know.
yeah. But yeah, they would be outcasting you in a minute, boy.
Yeah.
In a minute, you'll be on that same stake as Jesus,
nah,
boy.
But you know what's crazy though? I'm gonna tell you, right? And I haven't known Aaron that long. I mean, how long have we known you now? About almost 3 years now. About 3. We play together every Sunday, Saturday. You know what I mean? So
yeah.
And we do music together, write songs, you know, that type of stuff. But
yeah,
I connected to him not based on Christianity, though. Like, it wasn't based on, like, he's my saved brother, and I'm his saved brother. And we pray together, and you know what I'm saying? We fast together. That wasn't the connection. Our connection was just based on our character, like on it just clicked without religion. Even though we play in church, but we didn't hook up, because I play in church with many people, but I don't hang with everybody. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
I don't connect with everybody. It's preachers who believe what I believe, right? And I don't hang with them or have conversations with them like I have with him.
Yeah. Can you do me a favor? Can you tell me the I mean, I don't know if you know it off the top of your head. I assume you might. But can you say each commandment to me?
You said each commandment?
Yeah, like the Ten Commandments. Well, suppose 14 or 10, whatever it is now.
He said 14.
Was it 12 and somebody switched it up and oh no, it's actually 10 or you know what
no,
I'm
it's
saying?
Like 632 laws or something?
No, it's 613, but no, it's actually 10 commandments.
I'm talking about the 10 commandments. It was
20 and then it got cut in half because Moses did something bad and it got cut in half, so then he had to go up and write some more. No. Seriously, I mean, I don't know if I'm saying it right, but I mean, it's somewhere around there.
But I'm just saying, you know what I'm talking about. You know the Ten Commandments, the 10 main commandments that everybody knows, that's supposed to live by. Do you know them off the top of your head, or can you kind of tell me some that you can remember? I know the Thou Shalt Not Kill, you know.
Thou Shalt Not Kill.
Adultery.
Thou Shalt Not Steal. Now, first of all, one of them is Love One Another.
Love One Another. Beautiful. Okay.
That is one of the commandments. Am I right, Aaron?
I'll let you know in 1 second. I'll tell you all the commandments.
Okay.
Well, yeah. And
it's right here.
All right. Here we go.
Thou shalt
not have no other God before me.
For me.
Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image.
Thou shalt not have no other gods before me?
Uh-huh.
Okay, so I passed that one. Go ahead.
Okay, thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image. Basically, you can't make any idols pertaining to God or better than God or whatever.
Okay, I'm good with that. Go
thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, meaning cursing with his name or swearing by his name.
A lot of people need to stop that.
Remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy.
Okay, I'm good with that.
You aren't. No, that doesn't mean go to church.
I mean, but it says keep Sunday holy, right? Or supposed to be Sunday.
Sunday before,
right?
No, it actually means the Sabbath day for Jewish people is supposed to be a day of rest where they don't do any work. Basically don't do anything on that day. All they do is share time with their family. They read scriptures and they study.
Isn't it Sunday for them too?
No, it isn't actually Sunday for them. No, it's actually Saturday for them.
Saturday. Sunday is actually the first day.
Yeah. Okay. The fifth one is honor thy father and thy mother. The sixth one is thou shalt not kill. Seventh one is thou shalt not commit adultery. Eighth one is thou shalt not steal.
I'm working on that one.
Nine one, thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. You shouldn't lie, basically, is what it's saying. And the tenth one is thou shalt not covet. Basically, don't take anything that doesn't belong to you. So if somebody's married and you take their wife, that's wrong.
I'm working on it. So I'm working on three out of ten. Are you guys good on all ten?
No, because I don't have a holy day, and I don't have a Sabbath day. I don't have a day of rest.
What about you, Mr. Miller?
Well, I would say like this.
That's not a good start.
No, what I'm saying is Sabbath, because like Sabbath day, like in church. On a Saturday, I play at a Sabbath day church where they believe in keeping.
Actually, having church on that day.
I actually play, but really, I'm really working on that day because they pay me to play there. You know what I mean. It's a job. So my thing is like this: if I was to call any day that I truly like. Would say that would be my Sabbath day, my day of rest where I really don't really do too much of anything, it would be Monday. It wouldn't even be an actual day that I go to church. It would probably be a Monday. Like, Monday is my most
so relaxed. Out of 10, that's all you working on?
Nah. I don't kill. I ain't committed
to adultery. I'm saying, out of those 10, really the only one that you probably need to work on is that Sabbath day one.
Hold up. Let me tell you like this. Let me look.
That's the only one that I have a problem with during out of the 10. But it ain't just 10, so you know.
Yeah, that's all I can work on right now.
Yeah.
I'm already down 3, man. I gotta work on that, man. Help me out, man.
I ain't helping nobody do nothing.
Help me, man. Help me. Come on, please help me. I really need help. Well, you know, I've been working on 8 out of 10. You know that already, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm actually doing. I'm getting close to you. Not that close, but because two is a big difference in these 10, right?
Well, I mean, it depends on your concept of it.
Now you said there's how many in total?
613.
Oh Lord, how does it work? Like, if you get like 51 good, 49 bad, you're on the good side, right?
Nah, you break
one,
the
you
least
break
of
all.
Them. Yeah, there you
so,
go.
So, according to the law,
oh man,
according to the law, right? If you shaved your beard, you might as well lay with a man.
Oh man, that don't
you know
sound
I mean?
Wrong, yo.
Like if you ate pork or you ate shrimp, anything with a shell in it, you might as well. To cut somebody's head off.
Oh man, I ain't gonna make it, man. I need to praise God a whole. There needs to be like a little back alley way of getting to God if you don't meet all that criteria. Like, but okay, you a good guy. You know what I'm saying? I got you. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, you did this little thing on the side for extra credit. You know what I'm saying?
Well, no, I mean, it is, you know, that's why Christianity basically has evolved and made better Judaism. That's
yeah.
what Christianity
hey, yo,
did.
Do you know what a commandment is, yo? It's crazy, yo.
Is
to know there is a God.
It's to what you said?
To know there is a God.
Yeah. I'm working on it.
I'm working on it.
No, but I mean, I really am. You know I am. In my heart, you know I am. You know what I'm saying?
In your heart. Yeah, that's what a lot of people use for excuses.
Yeah,
yeah God knows my heart.
Good God knows my heart. You know what I mean? Nah, me.
God know my
oh,
heart, yo.
Man.
I don't gotta go to church, man. God know my heart, yo.
Oh,
you know what
God,
me? Man. You know what I'm saying? God ain't gonna let me go out like
no,
this,
listen,
son.
Yo, listen. If I could go to heaven off my good intention, boy, I'd be there right now. My intentions are great. I love deeply. You know what I'm saying? So, But it just doesn't work. But can I just, like, I'm sorry. And this
hey, yo, are you superstitious?
I have to unsubscribe from Christianity. Hey,
yo, did you hear what he said?
Because ain't working out for me because I'm missing Mads commandments
did you hear what he said?
Already.
Are you superstitious?
I don't think so, no.
Do you have any superstition?
I'm really not even sure. I never really put some thought to it.
Yeah, you do have.
The fact that I'm scared
because,
of God.
Yeah, and you actually said that you was going to get struck by lightning. Yes, definitely a superstition.
Yeah, I was scared. I mean, I didn't really physically think that lightning was going to hit me, but I wasn't quite sure. Maybe that might happen. I don't know because, you know, that's what people say, right?
Mm-hmm.
I just felt like something bad might happen to me just because of what I said. It doesn't. Yeah, I guess I'm superstitious, man. Yeah, I don't know. I really don't know what to be. I am lost. I am a lost soul.
Well, maybe you stop calling in.
Yeah, I know. Somebody say, I might have to stop calling. You might have to, hey, I'm sorry, man. Yeah, because I'm sorry for bringing
y'all
down.
Let me find out tonight when you get off the phone. Yo, you remember New Jack City?
Yeah, I remember New Jack City.
Can you picture him in the mirror? Looking with the pookie face, like
the pookie face, like
oh man,
I'm sorry.
This is really, really sad, man. This is really, really, really sad. Really sad.
Oh,
but I really think that it makes. You know what I'm saying? It makes people this the radio station. I think it really makes people really take a step back and like and excited to really listen, because this kind of stuff makes you want to study more. It really makes you want to study more.
Yeah, it definitely does. I'm studying just to find a loophole to save me.
Oh my gosh. Well, I told you that it is the loop. Christianity is the loophole.
Oh yeah, yeah, because I just
no, Christianity is the loophole because all you have to do is accept. Once you accept,
hey, yo, you're not screwing any animals or anything, are you?
Bestiality?
Yeah, that's on that list. You can't do that.
You definitely can't do that. Oh man, I think his phone died. But yo, so tomorrow's gonna be a show?
Oh yeah, tomorrow's gonna be a show. Yes it is, 10 o'clock.
Okay.
10 o'clock.
Do you know what the topic is yet?
I kind of like to mess with you on this one. I'll mess with you on this one. For real.
No doubt.
You know what I'm saying? Right. But you'll know by the morning. You know what I mean? By the morning. Or if you check on there later on tonight, because I might do it tonight. I don't know. But yo, man, right. Y'all brothers, man, y'all enjoy y'all night, man. Again,
you too, yo.
Mr. X Catholic, appreciate you calling in, man. You know what I'm saying?
No doubt.
Hope you tune in tomorrow.
All right, Jay, I'll get up with you.
All right, man.